Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Global Ports Holding first quarter 2015 results conference call. I now hand over to Mr. Segun Narin, CEO. Sir, please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot for everybody for joining the call. We have recently announced the Q1 results. First of all, apologies, there has been a although we are in the time frame of the bond agreement, there has been some delay in announcing the numbers due to IPO issues conflicting with the timetable. The first quarter in our business, both in cruise but also in cargo, is the lowest season. Considering that most of our ports, all but one, is in Mediterranean, January, February, March in cruise is really, really slow seasons. On the other hand, Antalya being Marble being the largest contributor, due to weather conditions, the Marble is not excavated in December and January, so that brings a volume shortfall in the first quarter. In general, we are in line with our forecast, full year forecast. Our segmentally EBITDA has grown by some 17% comparing 2013, where we did not have Barcelona at the time. If we look at an adjusted pro forma basis, there has been a 22% growth in EBITDA when compared to last year. There has been a remarkable growth on passengers. This is some 52% on like-for-like basis. However, having said that, half of this increase is just timing and seasonality issues. We do expect to close the year by between 20-25% growth in number of passengers on like-for-like basis. The cargo volumes, on the other hand, remain stable when compared to last year. And actually, there has been a growth, there has been a decrease on the number of TEUs we did handle, some 6% decrease. However, we did manage to increase the EBITDA in the cargo business despite this decrease in volumes. If we could continue from page 4. Commercial business continues to be the main driver with 82% of the segmental revenues. Having said that, you should notice that commercial business is less seasonal, hence the cruise portion will be something like 45% when we close the year, assuming no further acquisitions. On the margin, there has been a 23% increase from 8.5 million to 9.9 million American dollars, 8.1 to 9.9. This is mostly the seasonality factor in the cruise, this 53% increase in number of passengers, and also changing the mix in Antalya despite the volume decline. Touching base on that one on page 6, historically our imports in Antalya was between 15-20%, and in the first quarter of 2014 it was 18% imports, whereas there was 82% exports. With cargo diversification, we have managed to have a more balanced import export mixture, despite exports are still the driver of the business. But the imports increased from 18% to 31% in 1 year time. This has also had positive impact on revenue per TEU. In the first quarter it was of 2014, the revenue per TEU was $176. Now we have managed to increase it to $184 in Port of Antalya. However, we do have a decline in Port of Adria in TEU revenues. When we look at it in American dollars, there is some 20%+ decline from $122 to $92. But the majority of this increase is mainly due to 18% decrease in the parity, euro and American dollars parity. Overall, there has been a slight decline in the blended TEU fee for TEU. I mean, on the balance sheet side, our net debt stands at 4x of the EBITDA in the first quarter. This is our internal target remains to be 3x. We are likely to achieve the internal target within 1 year. There has been an increase in net debt position from $277 to $290, and this is mainly due to dividend payment in March 2005. Otherwise, net debt would have decreased further.
Okay.
After this point, I can take any questions you might have. I'll refer to moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. Our first question is from Alexey Johannes from PIMCO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions, please, regarding the dividends. The first is that our understanding is that the parent company, Global Yatırım, is considerably levered and is in fact dependent on cash from Global Ports to service its debt. My first question is, how much in total dividends should we expect going forward, say for 2015 and 2016, please?
Okay. I mean, we have made already one dividend distribution of $20 million in March. This was in line with there was a specific carve-out and for this dividend in the bond prospectus, and this was basically 2014 dividends paid to the parent company. Going forward, 2015 and 2016, obviously we haven't taken the dividend decisions yet. According to the loan documentation, we have restricted the dividend. We know the ceiling amount. It is 50% of the net profits of the company.
Okay. If you would quantify, I appreciate you don't know exactly when the profits will be, but based on sort of conservative estimate of profits, what do you think, how much leeway would that give you? What sort of dividend numbers might we expect going forward? Hello?
Well, it will depend on the acquisition pipeline we have. It might as well be zero if we were to spend the money on acquisition. If we were to spend the restricted payment on acquisition. Assuming there is no acquisition, I think the plan would be around $15 million dividends per annum.
$15 million per year?
Minimum. Yeah.
Okay. 15 in 2015 and 15 in 2016.
Yes.
Okay.
Assuming there is no significant acquisitions.
Sorry, if there were acquisitions, how would that arithmetic change?
Well, the amount would be decreased by the amount of the equity payment we provide to those acquisitions.
Okay. And wanting to regarding your indenture, I appreciate that you have a 5x gross debt dividend and incurrence test for the restricted group. Can cash be freely moved outside of the restricted group?
Sorry, you need to repeat it again.
So I appreciate that you have an incurrence and dividend test of 5x gross debt to EBITDA. That's gross debt. Now, can cash be freely moved outside of entities within the restricted group?
The short answer is no. I mean, there are certain minimal caveats, but basically it's every cash outside the restricted group is treated as if dividend, basically. So it's the same basket, the same limitations apply.
The same restriction applies. So that 5x, whether the cash is dividended out from an entity within or outside the restricted group, that same 5x ceiling applies.
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Our next question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our next question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask any further questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. We have no further questions. Back to you, Mr. Narin, for the conclusion.
Well, many thanks for
We have a further question. We have a further question, if you would like to take it, from Sebastian Falvey from Bank of Singapore.
Sure.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen, for the time. Just a quick question. Is there any update regarding any private investment that follow the cancellation of the IPO? Have you been contacted? Have you in conversations with other groups regarding the potential investment in the company? Thank you.
Okay. Well, in terms of that one, there is no serious discussions with anybody at this stage, considering that the IPO decision was given a month ago. We are still evaluating all the options. Nothing I would be able to comment on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, if there are no further questions, would like to thank everybody for attending and hope to meet in the next 2 or 3 months.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.